Hello, everyone, and welcome to Heart and Soul. This is an exciting show. You know, I have been playing in the field of the other worlds for my whole life, so I really was excited to have somebody who truly was on the other side come and tell their story. I am so interested to see the similarities, to actually hear what it was like. This story is a very different story because she is a gay woman who had a near-death experience. And her experience, I guess, was why she decided to write a book. And it's coming out. It's called She Believed She Could, So She Did. And it will be coming out on e-books pretty soon. But her story is a most magnificent one because of the stigma and the problems, in a sense, that gay people have had in believing that they are loved and that the other side is there for them and they're not going to hell because of their choice of sexuality. So I really wanted to bring this forward, to have a conversation so that people can start to really, I guess, change their mind if they've been brainwashed, or actually see who they are as humans and how important it is for them to understand exactly what it is and where we go. If you have fear, most people are afraid of dying. For me, because I've been working with the other side, I really don't have a fear. I feel kind of like it is truly another dimension. But I understand the fear. I understand that we are all asking the same question. Where do we go if I am different? Where do I go if I don't believe in a certain dogma? I guess that's why her book to me is so important in these days right now, because we are redefining ourselves as humans. We're really stepping up. We're coming forth in our truth and our magnificence. So I don't get that we really want to limit it by what was told to us. And to me, that's what this show represents, as a new way to see and feel about ourselves and our journey here in this world. Being a medium, I work in that realm every day. And so just know that your loved ones are in a good place. Those that even have committed suicide, I have worked with. And I feel that it is a kind of a different place for somebody who dies in darkness. I have noticed that when they come through, they're very blurry, and it's really hard to kind of tune into that frequency as easy as someone who dies in a beautiful way or in an accepting way of who and what they're doing. So I get that energy is where we leave off. And if you have been in a very loving, energetic space when you die, and you have a sense of yourself as your true self, then the journey isn't a scary one, a painful one. It's a real beautiful one from what I have seen and heard from the other side. So I just really want you to embrace that thought that there is nothing to be afraid of other than, I guess most people are afraid of pain, and I get that one. You know, but know that your body has a shut-off point. It will not go further than it can handle, and that the dying process is just that. It's a process. And I guess everyone has had that experience, and that's what I would love for people to do, is to call in and share their experience of moments in their life that they have been touched by the other side, that they have, kind of felt a presence in their world. Maybe someone standing behind them, maybe someone whispering, or the lights flickering when they thought of a person. Or I always like to say, if you give the other side a job, like sending you a feather or a coin or a music, then you can start to play with them and work with them and get to know them as spiritual beings. And you really start to kind of have a spiritual relationship with the ones you love once you can kind of know and believe that this person is truly there and wants you to know that they are present energetically in your world. And so really, I get that that's what we're here to learn on the show and in life, is that we are dimensional beings, that we are so not just this body, and that you can't kill energy. It's impossible. They've actually proven that. They've cut limbs off people and then taken photographs, and the energetic limb that they have cut is still there in a photograph. So as you can see, we are pure energy, and to me, that is what we have to wrap ourselves around. We're not this body, and we're not the story that has been told to us. I think we have to start to redefine that story. We have to make that story, if we're going to tell ourselves one, work for ourselves, work in our highest good. And so really, that's what this show for me represents, is that we can start to have this conversation and ask the question to someone who has been on the other side, who has some information for us if we're willing to open our minds and our hearts to the way that it was. So I really am kind of, I think, at that point in my life that we can't be afraid to have the conversation about death and dying and the other side and what we have experienced as human beings. So I really am hoping that those out there who are courageous and want to give their story to the world and to the people will start to open up and share what it has been like for them in their life when they have been, you know, in a stranger, and I say dynamic within themselves, that they can say, yeah, something definitely happened, or I had a dream and my loved one came to me and it was so real and I woke up and I felt so good and so at peace. So just know there, it is truly a visitation. We have to accept the fact that we are energy beings and they become pure energy, and so that they can start to work with us in our dream state and in our days. I always play with them a lot, so I have a lot of people on the other side that are always saying hello on my walks, and I have pocketfuls of feathers and coins and washers and heart-shaped rocks and all the things that they have been sending us right along. So I really am at that place in my life where I don't question, and I hope that you don't question, when the other side is saying hello or giving us a sign that things are going to be okay, that we're actually going to be okay, and that people, once you get that feeling that you're not alone and that your loved one is supporting you, your grief will lessen, your feelings of loss will lessen. And I think that's why we have to start talking about it, because if we think that we are this body and this is the only world we're going to be in, then we're limiting our knowing, our inner knowing. And to me, every single person on this planet is tuned in. We just have to allow it, and we just have to let ourselves believe what we feel. So I'm going to invite Elisa to call in. I had her here for a second. She just went off. So Elisa, if you can hear this, please call back. We're having some technical difficulties. This always happens when we start to work in spirit realms. The computer will blow out or the phone will die. So I'm pretty aware that this could happen, so I'm not surprised. But I really know that you're going to be fascinated by her story, because it is something that you really have to hear. Her journey has been a long one. She is my age, so she's 57 years old, And she has gone through a great deal of suffering, in a sense, physical suffering through accidents. And so her last episode, her last thing that really happened to her was the one that truly sent her to the other side. And that was what the basis of the book is based on. So to me, I get that we are kind of opening up the idea that, okay, all these people who have gone to the other side, which I have met a lot, all have similar experiences. Some say they see their loved ones that greet them. Some say they actually have just see light and feel peace. Some I've actually talked to who have gone to not the good side, but a negative side, had actually seen fires and a very dark, cold, scary place. And that person said when they came back, they realized they had to become better people. So know that it is a personal experience, but there is an absolute similarity in what they are saying, that they all feel at peace. They all feel loved. They all feel relieved, in a sense, to be relieved from their pain in their body. They really are in a euphoric, energetic love space. And they all say they felt a very loving being present in their world. One second... I am going to see if I can get another line for Elisa to call in, and we can start this conversation. One sec, let me see if we can do this, and I'm sure we can because I know Spirit's working for our highest good. Use my phone. Okay, we're going to get this rolling. No worries on any of it. So if you are listening and you'd like to share, this is the time, this is the place, this is a safe place for you to call in and kind of, if you have a story, I would love to hear it. And I will be doing readings as well. So if you have a loved one or if you'd like to actually have a short reading of what Spirit is saying to you, please call in because it really is important to see the correlation between mediumship and someone who, you know, who's really, who has been on the other side and how right on they are. So thank you, and I appreciate that you will do that for us. So I'm just waiting now. We had some difficulty with Elisa calling. Her phone just wouldn't call, so we got her another phone to call in. And so she will be calling very soon, and I am very excited to talk to her. But until then, I want you to kind of center yourself if you can. Close your eyes, everyone. Take a nice deep breath in. And believe that this is for you, that this time this is going to answer some questions. This is going to be exactly what it is that you would like. So just center in, quiet your mind, and just know that this is exactly where you have to be. This is the time. This is the place. And any question that you may have is going to be answered by Spirit. You have to have a sense of peace and not anxiety. So just get to that centered place. Take some nice deep breaths in and allow yourself to remember and to ask a question to Spirit that is important for you. So if you have a loved one on the other side that you would like to come through, just think of that person. Think of them smiling. Think of them happy. Think of them affecting your world in a positive way. And now invite them to come through, to be with us here and now, to speak with us. Okay, great. And I am going to, while you're just focusing on that, I see Elisa is on the line. So, hi, Elisa. How are you today?
Hello. I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm good, love. Just know when you're working in the dimension of spirit, everything and anything can happen. So it's not surprising to me at all. But I just really am so grateful for you that you've said okay to come and talk about your experiences, because to me, this is a real valid conversation for everyone to hear and know about. And my world, it's very normal, but for a lot of people, this might be the first time they're actually listening to somebody who has been on the other side, who had an experience. And to me, when we have somebody who has been really, who's really present like you are, and who has kind of talked about it, wrote about it, it allows everyone in the world to have this sense of peace about their own death. And I think that everyone needs to have that and stop being afraid. Because I always ask the question, if you weren't afraid, what would you do? Because to me, that is what life should be. It should be this exploration of life. And fear, in a sense, to me, stops a lot of people. But I believe that fear of dying is one of the biggest things that has caused depression, anxiety, disease, all the things, because we haven't really dealt with it to a real extent where we're at peace with it. So I'm going to ask you, if you could, just remember for me, when what was going on when this first all started for you? Like, take me back to the initial beginning of the story of when you died.
Well, when I died this last time, which was actually when I crossed over to heaven, the other times were out of body experiences, and it wasn't a complete crossover. This is when I actually was there. The other home. This was 13 hours of brain surgery, brain tumor removal, resection, that I was given a 10% chance of living to make it through. And if I did, I planned my death and everything that goes along with that, will, last rites, everything. What convalescent home you're even going to end up in. You have to do all that when you go into surgery like that. But upon crossing over was after I was awakened during surgery at the 11th hour, and then I had my brain cut by the actual surgeon's knife, and I bled out. And while that was happening is when I actually stepped over into the other side and found myself standing in the real home, in our home, heaven. I call it heaven. It could be called a lot of things to a lot of people, but heaven, home, it's all the same. And I walked through an area that was gray in tone and tan, and it felt not where I needed to be. I saw people there that I recognized, but it wasn't where my soul needed to stay, and I kept moving. And one thing I want to make clear about moving over there is not like moving here. You move in kind of like it's like if you're in a picture of bubble on the beach that they blow out of those big things and they kind of bend and twist. You move very rapidly, and there's no time or space dimension over there at all. So as long as it took for me to be there, I was on the pathway towards this great big bright light. And I saw on the left and right of me diamond streams of water. It's not dimensional. There's so many dimensions of color and light that it's indescribable, other than the sense of if you saw anything as vibrant as any painting you may have looked at ever, put it towards 1,000 times. But nothing hurts your eyes. Nothing scares you. It's utter comfort. It's utter love. And what's guiding you towards the gold light that's in front of you, which was in front of me towards the right as I kept going up, is that love. I've been born very much a tomboy and a lesbian, a drummer coming at it too. I mean, I dressed in boys' clothes all my life. I've been told I was going to hell. I've been told, you know, I ended up alone because I'm a lesbian. I was told all these horrible, horrible things were going to happen to me because of the life I've chosen. But here I am walking up to through these beautiful gates with utter love. And no subliminal messages, no voice inside of me telling me, I'm bad, you've done something wrong, you're guilty, you don't deserve to be here. Just complete and total utter embracement of my soul. And so I kept going forward.
And so this is really something to listen to, because what we are seeing is a lot of children or a lot of kids who have been raised in strict, you know, religious homes are committing suicide because they believe that they are not worthy of heaven. So to me, this book that you're writing is a very, very important thing for children, for kids, for gay, lesbian, transsexual, anyone that has had this told to them. And to me, we have to get this through to them, that you are worthy, that you are loved, that you are light, that there is nothing wrong with you. And I love that you're writing this book, and I hope that it gets to a point where people will stop doing this to the children, will stop poisoning their spirit with this misinformation. And to me, this is very important to hear. So when you were on the other side, I have some questions because I love the other side. Did you feel any presence around you?
Yes.
You did. Okay.
Yeah, I did. I felt my creator. You're enveloped by it. There's nothing else around you but that love. It's just surrounding you, your whole entire soul. It is the voice that you hear. There's nothing else. And it's total comfort.
It wasn't the long guiding you. Okay. Oh, okay. Go ahead. I didn't hear that. I was sorry I was interrupting.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, the other part, there are angels. They are there, and they truly are guiding you. Those are the two presence that I felt there.
Wow. So angels, and you knew they were angelic beings. They felt like that to you then?
Yes.
Or did you see wings?
I saw wings.
You did? Good. I love wings.
I saw a lot like what we see in the pictures, but a lot of electricity in them, a lot of energy going through them constantly. I have interpreted that, now that I've gone through other experiences, that that's their way of traveling, is through the electric light of that other world. Otherwise, they wouldn't be able to move as fast and be able to places they need to go. That's what I believe. Yes, they come at will. But the main entity was there was the creator. He's my creator, and she was beautiful, gold, huge enveloping light of love and forgiveness, and everything that I ever felt in my human body, I didn't have any essence or thought of it, not even a whisper.
Wow. So that mind chatter, in a sense, that we walk around with was gone.
Completely.
Yeah.
There's no subliminal messages.
That right there is the truth. That really puts me into that framework of our mind is either, you know, telling us lies and keeping us from our true self, which is beautiful and bright. And if you're not feeling that, then the mind is in a sense toxic, and it's kind of creating the world that you have in your world. And so to me, I kind of get that. Let's clear it out. My guru would call it die mind. Let's let the minds go over there, and let's get to the true essence of who we are as humans, which is a beautiful being, a beautiful light. I always believe, I have never met anyone I didn't think was worth meeting. And it's because I do feel that we are connecting with everyone that passes by us. There's a reason that they have come in our energy, and we need to address them and give them, in a sense, our vibration. You know, that's what I get, you know, no matter who it is. And so I love this, because this kind of validates a little more of what I feel and know, is that your experience is kind of telling me, yep, Pat, that's the way it is.
Well,
and I love it.
It brings meaning to everything that we are running into on this earth. It brings meaning and purpose to it, because what you're saying is absolutely fast, all the way down to the pets, these wonderful animals that we have. They're there too.
Yeah.
They greeted me.
Well,
they're
pure energy.
They were the first things to greet me there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
Yes,
I love that. Yeah, I have seen them as well when I do a reading. There's always pets around the person. So I always think, yeah, of course, they're waiting. They're your pet. You know, they're loyalty.
So all these things that come into our lives that we want to call relationships really are meant to be ships. There's something in that moment that is supposed to cross through to them. That's all about being good. That's all about love, and it's all about the life that we want to have here, happy, joyous, and free, not in bondage.
Right. This is wonderful. So when your book, tell me a little about it, and really when and how long you've been writing it.
Well, I've been writing it.
Well.
Through brain tumor surgery and recuperating and getting up on my feet and learning to literally start from holding a fork and learning to walk again. And that took about 6 years, but I never stopped writing all the time because of what I experienced over there, being a lesbian, kicked out by my parents, disowned, being told I was going to hell, and then finding out that all of that was a lie. There was just no way that I could stop writing this book. So through everything that I've gone through, including a second brain tumor surgery, I didn't quit writing. And the book is about
So your writing
survival.
Was your healing, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it was my healing, but it was also I want to give the healing away.
Yeah.
You know, I want this to be like the giveaway for my people. We have a tribe out there that the suicide rate's the highest it's ever been right now. That's got to stop.
Yeah.
We have only love from our Creator's heart, and she just really just wants to embrace us and have us keep recreating and procreating and all the love that we have to give. It's beautiful what's out there. And the other side, we can't give it any more time.
Right, well, yeah. We can't be a part of the lie anymore, in a sense. Yeah. I agree, and that's why I wanted you to come in and really share with us, because we think that you have to be this, I don't know where we get this image, but a certain image to go to a happy, loving, spiritual heaven, right? And I get that that's not really the truth, that everyone makes it. I do like the fact that you saw different dimensions, because as a medium, that is what I have seen myself, is that dimensions, someone who commits suicide is at a different dimension. And I do believe that they are working towards getting to a higher frequency. And so, you know, we all make it to the other side. And I believe, true, that the negative, or what you saw was that dark gray, is a dimensional space. It feels like a limbo space for me, for when I see spirits that are kind of stuck. And maybe if they died of a drug overdose, or they were, you know, in a really depressed state, they leave in that state. And so they hang out there until they can, I guess, acquire more light within their energy systems. And so for me as a healer, I always bring in their angels and send them great light and see if I can help move them out of this kind of stuck place. So just know, everyone listening, if someone on the other side you are worried about in some way, I want you to visualize that person, and I want you to call in your angels, call in their angels, and start to see a light appear and start to feel that person's energy going towards the light. And as they go towards the light, I want you to see them start to vibrate at a higher frequency. And just do that anytime you think of that person. I'd know for sure that it is a helpful thing. There's some psychics I know that go into insane asylums and release a lot of patients that got stuck in the building. So this is what they're doing on a whole nother dimension. So you can do it, of course, by your envisioning that person with great, and have great love in your heart when you do it. So we do have a caller, and I would love to take it. Are you open to having a conversation about this with someone?
Definitely.
Lisa? Okay,
yeah,
let's,
definitely.
Let's see who is waiting. And okay, 775. You are on Heart and Soul. Who have been talking to?
Hi, thank you. My name is Wendy, and are you doing readings?
Yes, I am doing readings. I am. So, have you any specific area of that you'd like to have more attention to?
Yes, absolutely. And that would be regarding employment.
Uh huh. All right. Okay. Well, the first person there, I feel like there's a male energy around you. With an L name, and I feel like it's like a Leonard or a Larry or something like that. I don't know why, but this is a very strong energy that's kind of working with you on the other side. So I'm going to let him give me some information. All right. So it does say that it is a delayed reaction. So have you been applying and it's not happening as fast as you'd like? Is that?
Yes, I have been applying and nothing is happening. I am currently employed with a medical insurance company, and I've decided that it's not the best environment for me because I'm an empath, and I love to help people. I'm very compassionate, but I think it'd be better if I had a different atmosphere. I have been applying to Kaiser, which is another medical insurance company, and also a Versant, a vision insurance company. And I am 62 and 3 months old, but I want to continue working at least for another 21 more months because then I'm upping my Social Security.
I see. Yeah. So in your waiting, how long my feeling is it's your waiting is not, and I keep hearing that your waiting is not like you're going to have to wait a little while to get the next thing to happen. But it is in the works. I feel kind of like it's happening. But I feel like when you go into a big company that it takes the process is way longer and you have to go through many interviews before you actually know that you've got the job. So I have a sense that it's fair to saying to me, don't give up, keep on sending out those applications and it will happen. And because you are, I want you to really feel in to the right and perfect place. That is where you're supposed to be. Because to me, you already have it in your knowing of where you would like to be and what you'd like to be around every day. So I want you to focus on that. For me, that's the most important thing is get to it, bring it down to your guts, you know, bring it down to your internal knowing of what you would like to go to every day and what kind of energy you want to be around. And being that it's only for it's only a short amount of time, really, a couple of years, it's really important that you leave on a high note and it doesn't burn you out, you know, that it doesn't take anything from you but gives to you. And I'm going to say this, I feel like a nursing home environment where you could be of service in your loving energy would be something to look into. So if there's a job that you could work, in a nursing home. Not in the nursing home, but you could be in the office of the nursing home setting up their health care or something. So they have different, but I feel like this is where I feel my spirit is showing me that would be a very good fit for you.
In how many months do you think I'll start drawing my Social Security?
I keep getting a 2, so it feels like it's relatively soon, within like the 2 months. And again, it could mean when Spirit shows me a number, I always think it's 2 months, 2 weeks, 2 years. So it's in the 2. So it relatively usually means quickly. And it will be up to you to decide that you have enough to survive. You know, it's, I know that you'd like to make more, but more doesn't necessarily mean that your time, and you have to ask yourself this, is this, if
all
I have
right.
two
well,
more,
you
know, okay, love, thank you.
So, yeah, it's from 1 to 21 months. So if you had to pick
yeah.
a number,
but
you
just,
choose?
I want you to, if you could, ask yourself this question. If I had the next 2 years, if this was all I had and the money that they were going to give me at Social Security, and but I only had 2 years left of my life, would I want to do this?
Mm-hmm. Well,
because
no. I
okay.
But I also, uh-huh. you never know how long you're going to be here, so I want a quality of life.
Yeah.
I want to be able to live, you know, in a nice place and not worry
yeah,
about money.
Right, right. I know. But I always think that quality, you know, quality instead of quantity. You know, we look at quality much. We don't, you know, really think about quantity. Sometimes we think, well, quality is way more than quantity. I'd really like to have my health now that I have, my vibrance and self now, enjoy my retirement. And to me, it is about kind of weighing it out, you know. I've done that too because I've retired from working in the world, and I realize that I can live on less, and I can desire less stuff, and I can have more experience if I do that. So I'm just giving you that question for you to look at, because spirit always wants you to kind of get to the real truth of what would be best for your spirit. And if this, if working is burning you out, or the energy around you is draining you, then it isn't very healthy. It's just the way that it is. So I want to make sure that you are in a very healthy, receptive place in the way of who you are as a human being and spirit. So these are some of the big questions spirit wants you to ask yourself. I always think that that's my job, is to be a direct link to your spirit and start to really get deeper to say, well, if I had 2 years, I wouldn't want to be going to an office and fighting the traffic, or I wouldn't. So if we can always ask us that, then spirit can lead you to the right and perfect thing. I know that for sure. Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you. That's very kind of you.
Okay, Winnie. Well, have a good day. All right.
You too.
Blessings.
Thank you.
Okay. Oh, and Lisa, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Well, I'm sorry that we're going to be having some readings coming into the show, and to me that's just perfectly fine. But because Elisa's energy is very high and tuned in to those frequencies, so as I really know that her presence in the show is helping us get to a really beautiful place. And that's something I think, Elisa, can you tell me? This is a very big question. After you died, what was the message to your life that you got?
The people that can't speak for themselves, speak for them.
Ah, right. So you came back to be more of an advocate for those that couldn't do it themselves.
That was the number one thing that I heard, yes. Yep.
Yeah. And has
Creator doesn't speak in a lot of words. He's very, very direct and very simple. And so you have to kind of, when you listen to it, I had to kind of like configure, oh, what is he really telling me? Because it is so simple. There's so many people that don't have a voice. They're afraid to talk. They've been hiding for so long, that's become the more comfortable habit. Or they abuse drugs and alcohol, and that's become the more comfortable wall to hide behind. I mean, there's so many ways that people can hide, that to have an advocate, I could see what he meant in the simplest of terms, is like, get it out there, and that's when people are going to get the guts, because somebody else said it, they're going to get the guts to say it, because it's not scary anymore. It takes the power away from the fear.
Right, yeah. So in your, I'm going to ask a really interesting soul question. So after dying, what did it do to change you as a human being?
I no longer live for society's rules and it's time. It became creative time and what love I was supposed to spread and be, not just one day, but every day in every breath.
Mm-hmm.
It's not an easy task to do here on this earth because we're here. This is earth.
Mm-hmm.
But that was the most important message I got, because after being in such perfection of love, then coming back here, it's very hard to be here at first. Very hard.
Yeah, I have heard that. Yeah.
So
that
you have
they
to
feel
translate
deep,
it
and I actually have heard. Yeah, I have heard that. Survive, you know, near-death experience, when they come back, they're almost mad. They're angry that they weren't able to stay. Did you experience that?
I was for
that?
A while. Oh,
yeah,
I was for a while. I had to come to terms with that, and Creator and I had major conversations. I was for 3 years very angry, and I was still writing my beautiful experience. I'm still going through recuperating, but it's not the kind of anger of, like, human anger. It's the kind of anger of, I just want to be heard because I wanted to know why I was here.
Mm-hmm.
And finally I got my answer, and again, it was very simple. And he said, because I love you.
Wow.
Because I love you. And I literally fell into tears in my room, my small little room at my parents' house. I fell apart. And not the kind of fall apart, like insane fall apart, but I fell apart with the overwhelming envelopment of love that I felt there.
Wow.
And then I knew it was here as well. It's everywhere. It's not just there. It's here. It's just that getting our mind, bodies, and souls at alignment so we can receive it is where the trick is. And that's where we got to get open and honest with ourselves.
Mm-hmm. And I have a question too. What are some of the earthly things that when you came back, no longer you could see, no longer, or were no more a concern of yours?
TV.
Oh, yeah?
I laugh, but I really, the mundane things that we just put into our brains that really erase us from our real purposes, I had no interest in whatsoever again.
Wow. Yeah, it's
so
funny.
So television,
I really...
music, though, on the other hand, music really opens up my soul. It brings me an alignment. You know, it depends on who you are. We're all going to have different alignments with what brings out who we really want to be. I always say, you know, love what you do, you know, and you will be successful. So be what you love, and you will be loved. So, I mean, it's kind of like a recipe for success no matter what way you look at it. But can we do that if we're hiding? And can we do that with resentment? Can we do that with things that we're afraid to ask?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think so. Because we have to forgive ourselves within and let God heal us. I mean, really, it does come down to that.
Yeah. Right. So if you were to say to someone out there who is struggling with their sexuality and who's felt suicidal, what would you say to them?
First of all, I would let them know that I did have a gun to my head once, and that I know what it's like to be in that position of where you just absolutely do not think there's any other way to turn. The next thing I would say is set it down, because the ways that we have a 360-degree angle that's open to us, that's pure love and pure acceptance. And everything that we are in our being, the only thing that is a judge is the nonsense we listen to. It's not real. So what I would tell them is, I tell them to set it down, whatever it is that they're using to destroy or try to kill themselves with, and then I would start telling them to start writing down. I believe that the power of the pen is phenomenal. Start writing down what it is. What's paining you? What is it? What outside forces have come against you to make you make it so strong that you believe it? Because it's all lies. I would tell them this. It's all lies.
Right. So I like that a lot. I like that a lot, Elise. Because I do think that if you internalize this mistruth to your psyche and your spirit, then you do feel like you're not worth it. You know, God doesn't love you. You've swallowed the poison pill, in a sense. And I like the fact that you are saying, get it out. You know, put pen to paper. Say how you feel. you know, get the experience of this poison out of you. And I always, I call it automatic writing, is that you just get a piece of paper and don't look at it. Just write what you're feeling. Write, till, and then go to the next page. Keep writing and don't audit your own writing. Just write it and get it out of your body. And to me, and then I love to do celebrations and I love to do rituals. So burn it. And every day, when I was in India, I did this every single day when I was with Sai Baba. And every single day, we would just write down every single remembrance of anything in our frequency or anybody or any experience that was negative. We just wrote it down. And as we did that, every day we just burned it and burned it and burned it. And by the end, I was there for almost 2 months, I felt like a brand new person. I had no more even memory of any of it. It was amazing how powerful what you just said is amazing. It's for everyone to be listening. This is something that you can do to start clearing away all the garbage that we've collected over the years, from when we were little to now. And
then believe and you have start, a creator that's out there listening to you that's healing you in the interim, and then it's time to start smiling.
Right. So
yeah.
letting the healing begin is probably the biggest thing. Yeah. And to kind of say, I am open.
You have to. If you've been stuck with the frown because you've been hurt so badly for so long, do it on purpose as long as you have to for it to become natural. Put a smile on.
Yeah.
Just do it on purpose.
Yeah, and living your authentic self to me is very important. So, you know, I'm all about let your freak flag shine, you know, and be proud
smile
of it.
Away.
I don't see,
enjoy
I mean,
it.
You know,
exactly.
Experience your uniqueness and express your uniqueness and be proud of your uniqueness. And to me, then you are shining. And it's only when we stuff any part of us down, you know, and I believe that we have all stuffed a lot of things down. We've stuffed our abilities to be intuitive. We've stuffed our abilities to believe in the other side. We stuff so much stuff. It's amazing that we're even capable of waking up in the morning because we've got the side of us that shines in the world, and then all this dark, all these little little bags, black bags surrounding us that we've put what we perceive as wrong around in the dark. And to me, anytime you have a shadow, anytime you put something in the shadow, it is subconsciously living through you. There is no way that it doesn't. Because your essence hears every single word. Your beliefs, if you are shining in the world but have this internal hatred going on, it is the truth of what's going on. You are, you know, causing kind of, like I said, a disease. You're out of ease. You're going to be causing yourself disease stuffing any part of you that, because every part of you is okay and is beautiful and is loved. And that I know, you know, that I know with every single bone of my body. And I think that as we start working with the other side, we start to see that, you know, this is something they all come back with knowing. I mean, I'm going to ask you a question. Since you died, do you have any fear of dying?
No.
No.
None.
And do you almost welcome it? Do you actually look forward to it as like? Yeah.
Absolutely.
when your day comes, you'll be like.
Because I'm enjoying my life thoroughly, but. I'm completely content with it, yes. Because I know of the pure love there. And I wanted to say this, because you mentioned the bags around people. I see it as shingles and breaking off the old shingles off of you. It's similar to what you said. That's why I said smile on purpose, because, you know, we really were born to have a smile on our face. We weren't born to be taught how to feel. We were born to be how we are, beautiful, innocent creatures. And sometimes we have to relearn how to do that again. And sometimes that's why we have to do it on purpose, to take habits that are old and bring back who we originally are, our souls that are love.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And the people out there that know what I'm talking about putting a gun up to your head, that know what I'm talking about, but the family member telling them they're going to hell, you're going to live alone, who's going to take care of you? They've all heard it, and they know what I'm talking about. But we also know that with Creator and this love that I experienced, I can tell you I completely was loved like I'm not a what, gay meant nothing. Lesbian meant nothing. It was me as an individual, as my soul as an individual. That's all that mattered. So when I say smile on purpose, because that smile needs to become a habit, because that's who we really are. This other stuff is just old junk.
And
so,
Elise, have you felt a big change in your life since this experience?
Everything shifted. I don't have a reason to prove who I am anymore, which is big. I just am who I am. I'll wear what I want. I'll talk with whatever voice I have. I'll cut my hair or wear it long. I'm not trying to be anybody but who I truly am. And it's a wonderful feeling because, you know, people look at me and this is the whole stigma I have. Or they have with me, you have long hair, you look so much like a girl. Well, I don't feel like a girl, I feel like a boy. You know, I was born a boy, a drummer, and that's what I was. And I have long hair because it grows. There's still this outside stigma that my hair is long. So I found out afterwards, none of this stuff matters. What matters is how you see yourself in the mirror, period. That's what I most importantly learned, because I tell you what, image being a lesbian is the one thing that made me feel like I wanted to just off myself back in 1979, with image.
So imaging is a big thing, isn't it? We do it with heterosexual people too. We're always judging on what we perceive somebody's image is showing us, instead of waiting a minute to getting to know that person and saying, oh, you know, they have purple hair, they have pokey hair, they're cool. You know, we judge right away and then boot them out before we even give them a chance to shine with us, you know.
And that goes with age, too.
It goes,
With
age,
I talked, you're mentioning that the nursing home with the lady earlier, and I'm thinking to myself, you know, I've met millennials that I've had amazing conversation with and people that are in their 90s that I've had amazing conversations. That's another thing. It just doesn't matter. It shouldn't matter. I don't know why that popped up, but it does for me.
But I have one question, too. Do you feel, since you've been on the other side, that your light shine so bright that you attract people who want to talk?
Yes, there's no doubt. And ask questions and be close. And it's not something they're even conscious of at all.
Right, because your frequency is so bright that you don't really understand why am I wherever I am, there's someone always coming up to me wanting to hug me or talk to me or, you know, tell me their story, right? I have heard that too. It happens with me a lot. So I get when you're working in that frequency, or you've been to that frequency, or you're really understanding what a love vibration feels like, that is what you're attracting to you. Those that are looking for it in the world and have to and want to, in a sense, surrender their own light to somebody because maybe they haven't had a chance to do it, you know? So I love the fact that you are available to those in the world that no matter daily to have this conversation with. And can you tell, Liz, if you were to think of like one wild experience since you've had this experience of being in this dimension, you have any in mind that you would like to share with us?
The angels came with me and they haven't stopped being with me. And I can ask them to do the simplest thing is to get my keys out from underneath the car center partition that I would have to have torn apart that fly up in the air to parking spaces. And I mean, that sounds so silly, but my mother, and my sister have can attest to these things. I ask for things that I want to have happen, and it doesn't mm-hmm. have to be a big thing. It's not the big boom in the sky. It's simple stuff, and it happens. I get it
right away. Yeah.
And if I forget,
so
to
you're
ask,
in the you're oh, yeah. you're in the you frequency know, like, of receive. Wow.
Yeah. Why not ask? Why would you forget asking if it's right there in front of you? You know.
Right, and I think that you are quite aware of your oneness now with the universal energy, and you believe and know that it's on your side. So why
yes.
wouldn't you ask for help if you need it? And I always I call it creation. Creation, I command you to help me with this, you know, situation now, and next moment it's done. So I really get that when you are in alignment with spirit, it's not separate anymore. It's not this thing out there. It's a thing inside of you that you are developing and nurturing and understanding and honoring. And it's this beautiful oneness that you start to have with that spirit, that beautiful light of yourself, you know. So we have a caller, Elisa, and I hope you don't mind me doing a reading in between. But I know you don't.
That's a blessing. I'm going to take that. Yeah.
Okay, well, I am going to put in our caller 612. You are on Heart and Soul. Who am I talking to?
This is Sue.
Hi, Sue. How are you?
Hi, Sue.
Hi. How are you?
We're Great. Good. Are you enjoying the show?
I am. It's been amazing. So thank you so much for all of it.
Oh, you're welcome. And so do you want to work on one specific thing, or would you like to just do a quick reading on what's going on for you? You tell me what you're feeling.
I would like to do a healing.
All right. Well, I am all about that. So I would love to do a healing. So why don't we do this? I want you to, with your mind's eye, I want you to see the issue, and this is only between you and yourself, that you'd like to heal.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And if it's a relationship, then let's put that person in front of you. Okay.
Okay.
And I want you to just keep her or him away around 5 feet in front of you, like they're standing in a doorway, and you can really see their whole body. So in your mind's eye, visualize that person's whole body. And
okay.
with your knowing, I'm going to use your inner knowing, just do a scan of that person's energy system. I'm going to do it with you. So I'm going to see on the top of her head, I see her, so I'm going to see a lot of darkness on the right side, and I see, goodness, a lot of dark on the right, and a little bit of murkiness in the front of her head and around her throat. And I'm going to go down her front of her body, and I'm going to check out her heart, her solar plex. And I do see a lot of murkiness and kind of cuts. I'm going to use the word cuts, like energetic cuts, which make me feel kind of like this person has kind of stuffed a lot of anger stuff in her solar plex area. So we're going to move it down and then go into her root chakra, which is that last energy point on the spine. And that is very, it looks like a pool of black goo to me. So I'm seeing that this person in front of me has, and in like we were just talking about, is, you know, if we stuff a lot of our traumas in our body, in our energy field, then what you get is a very chaotic energy with this person's way of how she's living. Okay, so it internalizes, but then energetically shows up in the world. If you can feel that one out, you know, it makes sense, doesn't it? It's like if you're eating poison, eventually you get poisoned. negative energy is just that. You have swallowed the pill and you have put it in your energy field. So we're going to just take a look at her. And we're going to look all the way down her legs, her feet. I'm not sure if anyone else, I'm going to invite everyone to feel into this. And feel what you feel about what you're seeing. So if you're feeling that this person's heavy, if you're feeling heavy, like you can't feel like you can breathe, I want you to pay attention to how you feel when you tune in to this frequency that you're looking at.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'm getting it really in my heart and right in my solar plex, big time. So, okay, we're just going to pay attention to how we feel when we just view this person's energy field and how it affects us. Okay, so I'm going to ask your angel, my guides, to come in and now kind of do a beautiful blue screen between you and this energy. So we're going to put this up. We're going to start to paint it around your field so that her field can no longer affect you in any negative way. So we're going to start to paint this beautiful blue kind of iridescent light around your energy field. There we go. I like that. That feels good. Now I want you to take a nice deep breath in. And I want you to push out your breath into that energy field that we just put around you. So another deep breath in. And I want you to put in, breathe out, and feel the space around you. Feel the space behind you. Feel the space around your head. Keep breathing in the light and keep breathing out and feel the space around you of this beautiful blue protective light. Okay, I'm liking what I feel. So I want you now to now look at that person, her energy field. And notice the difference when you're not attached to it. Notice how you can take a deep breath in and you have separation. And now she's very small to me now. It's funny. She shrunk. She's very small. And she doesn't look so scary. And she looks kind of like a little kid to me almost, that I actually have a lot more compassion for. And my fear is dissipating around her. And I feel like I'm getting to see her shine come back. Wonderful. So we're going to ask creation, I command you to eliminate all ENA, DNA, past life attachments that Sue has with this energy. I ask for it now to be separated and sent to the light. Great. Now feel into that space now, Sue. Feel it at a very bigger and more dense and more bright and more your own space.
Okay.
And now we're going to ask creation. Yeah, so we're going to even do a little bit more wonderful work. I want you to now, in your big self, I want you to ask your guides, your loved ones on the other side, anyone that comes to mind, to give you a spiritual vacuum. And it could look like a little, it's very unique. So they're going to hand it to you. So I want you to put your hand out, and I want you to ask spirit to give you the right and appropriate vacuum. And you start to kind of feel it in your hand now. It's small and wonderful. I'm feeling it. And now I want you to see that person's energy field, the way that we saw it before, with the dark and the murk. And we're going to actually stay within our field of protection, but we're going to put that beautiful vacuum through the barrier. And it's got a really long hose, so it doesn't have to come that close to you. And we're going to start vacuuming her field, her energy field, starting from the top of her head. And we're going to start to vacuum right to left all the way through, like we're really thoroughly vacuuming a beautiful rug, but we're vacuuming her energy field. And we're taking her time, so we're now vacuuming from the top of her head. Now we're moving down into her front of her head, her nose, her eyes, her ears, or all around her chin, around her throat, around the sides of her neck. And now we're just going to step back and take a look at what the difference looks like energetically once you have vacuumed. Looks good. Looks better. It looks still murky. It looks murky to me. But so believe what you see and go back in and let's vacuum a little bit more.
Okay,
we're going to vacuum until it's completely clear, like we are seeing light start to permeate finally around her head and her throat. Okay, I love it. Looks great to me.
Okay.
Great. So we're going to take a look, and we're going to see. We can see the difference. I can see the difference of this light little head sticking out from kind of a dark, like she's in water almost, like murky water in the rest of her field. So we know that now we're going to give that vacuum back to our guide, and they're going to give us a new and fresh vacuum to do the middle half of her. Okay, we're going to take a deep breath in and make sure as you're working that your space is clear, that you haven't stepped out of your field of protection. Great. And now we're just going to start to vacuum her throat and her right side, her shoulder, her right arm, all around the inside of her, where her waist is, right where her breastbone, her heart. And then we're going to move it to the left side and go over and go to the left all the way. Be very thorough. Anything you see, believe. If you have to, just going to go down her left arm and around her sides and her breastbone. And now we're in her solar plex. And this solar plex has a lot of stuff in it. So I want you to see it as a black, kind of murky pool that you're going to stick this beautiful vacuum in, and it's going to start to clear this murky water kind of energy around. So we're going to just stick it in, and it's kind of, you can almost see it sucking out all the black, all the goop, everything that's been negative that happened to her, that she's holding on to, anger, everything's just getting pulled into this vacuum. Great, and now we're going to check our vacuum, make sure it's full. It looks very full to me, so we're going to give it back to the angels. We're going to ask for a new one. Wonderful. And now we're going to go back in and take a look. Let's step back, Sue. Let's take a back and see how it's looking. And just notice the color changes. If there is some like little specks left, that's what I'm seeing, left in that energy field. So let's go back and vacuum and really make sure it is gone. I'm going right to left all the way to the tops of her thighs. Okay, great. Nice. I'm seeing much clearer, much more vibrant. And so now I can almost see her standing. Looks like she's standing in a dirty pool, like from her legs down. So good. Good job. We're doing a really great job because this is, you know, usually takes about an hour and a half to do, and we're doing it on a show. So I want you now to just get another, ask your angels to give you another vacuum. And we're going to now go in and finish up the remaining half, going right to left and really clearing. Now, this is an energy thing, so we're kind of not in her body. We're around her body. We're just clearing out the energy field. There we go. All the way down to her feet. Now, nice. I like how fast that happened. That felt like it really got away. It just like, okay, I get the hint. We're cleaning out here. So great. All right. So now step back. Put her back in that 5 feet away from you. Make sure you're back in your safe field. Check into your blue and beautiful safe kind of energy support system around you. Just get back in. Take a nice breath in. Just breathe in really strong. And now breathe out. And make sure you didn't take any of her energy in with you. Lovely. I feel it. Do you feel that, Elise? Yeah. And you have a, and just know, Sue, you have a whole show doing this for you. So that's probably why this is even more powerful, because everyone listening can always put someone that has been in their energy field that they would like to help out, but they know that they can't. They can't change the way the person is. They can't do anything other than this. And in separating yourself energetically, you'll start to feel better about the whole thing. You'll start to feel more powerful, less taken. You know, I use that word taken because energy, I call them energy vampires. They like to take from people. They love to zap you
right. And
take your energy. And the next thing you know, you woke up in a great mood. Next thing you know, you're in a corner in a ball, you know. And it's because they are really good at zapping and doing this. So this is a way for all the empaths, all the sensitives in the world, not to get drawn in and taken by people who are or zapping you and who are energy vampires. So just do this, Sue. Anytime you're around anybody, and even before you go into the market or to a party or to a benefit or your family function, anything that you know that they could hook into. Because this protection is what I live in as a medium, as a psychic. It's the only way I could be in the world. It's the only way that I don't get flattened, and I mean that sincerely, energetically, by the world out there. So you have to get, and I mean it, as grounded into the earth as you can, and actually see yourself, like send out your roots to Mother Earth, and keep on sending them out until you can get to the center, and then hook yourself in. You see,
okay. And
do that as soon as you wake up in the morning, as soon as your feet touch the ground, send your roots out and hook in. And you are much more grounded, you're much more in your power at that point to handle anything. And then also, to me, this energy needs a lot of work. This is what I feel. She has to, again, for the next phase of healing to happen, this person has to be the one who is in knowing that she needs it and who's in wanting that she needs it. All we did is clear her field, and that's all we can do because we care and we are concerned for that person. But as for any further healing and any further work, the person has to be the one to come forward and start to want to do the work. So just know that this work is for you. This work is for you, Sue, not for her. It's for you. Because as you clear her field, she will not be able to negatively influence your field anymore. Just know that, okay? And this work, I want you to do this every day until it becomes a natural state of being. I want you to kind of feel into it, see it. If you're feeling being pulled, go in your room and do your circle. Put her as far away as comfortable, like she, and just see what you see. And if you see something, start to vacuum. And then that's it. I've done this with my son. I've done this with my husband. I've done this with intimate relationships because it's the only way to detach from their own process that they're going through. See, as we, you know, love doesn't mean attachment. It means detachment. It means that we know that that person is on their own journey, has their own sacred agreement that they're doing. And by me trying to orchestrate it in any way, I'm actually messing up their journey. And so for me to do this is actually the most healing thing I can do for loving somebody, is to really see them separate and see them clear. And that's all I know I can do.
Okay.
Yeah?
Thank you.
All right, love.
Yes.
You're welcome. I'm so grateful. Thank you for that.
Elisa?
This is my work. This is what I do all the time. So I'm so grateful you called in with something that we could profoundly on the air. You're welcome, love.
Okay. Can I talk? Can I ask, say something to Elisa?
Absolutely.
I'm just really excited for your book to come out, and I know that it's going to help so many people. So thank you.
Thank you, Sue. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And so, you know, this is what we have to get better at, Elisa, is knowing your influence on people and how positive it's been. And it feels like Sue has gratitude for you, for who you are in the world, and let's honor that in you. You know, I do. I honor just the fact that I met you. I honor the fact that you're as honest and open and as powerful as you are, and I appreciate the fact that you're in the world that I'm in. So I just really wanted to share that with you as well.
Thank you. It means a lot to me from both of you. Very much so.
Yeah.
It touches my soul. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I know it's hard. It's hard to receive the gratitude sometimes that people have for you, because we're always the ones doing for others, and it's kind of hard to receive the love that they have for you. And I get that, you know. So thank you for reminding me to do that. Yeah, thank you for that, for reminding me to receive gratitude from people as well, because I know that's a hard one.
I appreciate it so much.
And Sue, do you have any questions that you would like to ask Elise about being on the other side that you've always wondered about?
It kind of scares me thinking about dying.
Oh. And why would you... Elisa?
Yeah, I wanted to know, Sue, what did you say that scares you about it?
I guess just leaving everybody here.
Okay, because you're not.
Okay.
The most interesting thing is that's home, where you go to when you die, home, and it's the one, like, if you pick the condominium, it's the one you'd always want.
Okay.
And
I love that.
And everybody
I love that too.
They're all wearing what clothes they want to wear, and the pool's the exact right temperature. I mean, everything is beautiful. And it's perfect. So it's like, and there is no time, so you're not worried about time and space and when somebody's going to die and come and show up because I miss them. That's all gone. And in the meantime, the people that are here are learning from your dying, which you really haven't, but they're learning from that, because every time somebody dies, we feel love for them, and we feel pain, but we also feel compassion. And that's something that we need to have more of in this world. So, you know, it can be so many ways of a gift dying. But for what you're saying is, you're not leaving anybody.
Okay.
You're in a place where you're not going to even think about it anymore, because you're in the purest love for your soul that you can ever possibly imagine. You don't think about here. You think about love for people, but you don't think about loss. There is no loss with Creator.
Okay.
Only gain.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice. Yes.
Yes, at least I can feel that for sure.
Okay.
So it's like the feeling you have if you are traveling. I always think, like I feel, of course, like if you lose someone close to you and you can't get through grief, I always say to the person, I want you to imagine that person has a plane ticket and they're going to the place that they have dreamed of going. But this is very far away, and they don't have phones there. And you're going to have to say goodbye to them. But you know with all your heart that they are going to have the best time ever.
Okay.
And if you can send that person to that place, then you can send yourself to that place too. And to me, that is
that
the ultimate
sense.
truth. Yeah. So as we release them to this beautiful place, we also know that I have a ticket in my hand. I just don't know when my plane is going to arrive.
Okay.
And I'm going. Okay. I don't have to pack. I always love that thought. I don't have to pack. And I'm going to get to be in first class. I'm going to go to the place that I'm going to go back and be, you know, surrounded by the love, the feelings, the joy, the everything that is like I've always dreamed of, in a sense. I'm going back there. And to me, there is no thought of being here. There's none. Think about that. Would you have a thought of, no, you know? And so I get that because I work on the other side, Sue, a lot of times they're always saying to me, please let them tell them that I'm okay. I'm really good. I've never been better. They always tell me that. And because we think, oh, they're dead, they suffered, they whatever. And the suffering is like, and this is what I feel. When you walk in a room, once you're in the room, do you think of the door? And I think dying is like that. Once you've passed through the veil, you are already through, and you're there, and you're in peace, and there's no more thought of how you got there. Matter of fact, a lot of times when I work with people, they show me how they died. They'll give me a headache, or I get a pain in my heart, or, you know, I feel, and they show me a little bit of how they died, and I feel it. So I'll say, oh, this man died, you know, this way, or this happened to him. And so then they know that that's the person on the other side. Sometimes they do that. And it's only for a second, and they always say, I didn't suffer. Just let them know it was over before you knew it. You know, it was just like a blink of an eye kind of thing. So I think that our fear of it is the fear of pain, you know? Pain in ourself, that we're going to go through this mass amount of pain and it's going to be horrible. And I think that's only mental pain, because as we said, once she was on the other side, she didn't even think of her body anymore, right?
No, not at all.
Right.
Or anybody or anything for that matter. Because before I left, I was very concerned about hurting people. I understand what you're saying. We don't want to hurt people's feelings, but we're going home to this place where at the exact time that we're supposed to go, and we have to trust the process of what creator's plan for us. And in saying that, at the same time, the people that are left behind, are they really? No, they're not left behind. It's just that they have more time to do what they need to do to land at the exact place that they need to land when they come. And you'll see them.
Mm-hmm.
You will definitely see them again.
Okay. And it is a blink of an eye. Yeah, it is a blink of an eye. From, you know, there's no time on the other side. So, I mean, it's funny because I've worked with people who have had children die. And when I work with them, I see the child the age that they would have been if they lived. Let's say they died when they were like two.
Okay.
That I worked on the woman, and they would have been seven. I see a seven-year-old, and I'm saying, but she. But so the development spiritually is still happening within the family's energy system. Like, they still are your child. They're just on the other side, and they're growing within the family. They tell me all about what the trip to Disneyland. They tell me all about it because they were there. You know, they didn't go. They went far from the eyes could see, but their energy systems and their love for that mother and father is in a sense tying them to them energetically to still experience some of the life events that happen here. But they're not always with them all. But I always think, like, if everybody goes, oh, so if they're, you know, when I'm in the shower, is the other side around? And I'm like, well, would they be normally? And they'll say, no. So, like, why would they just all of a sudden appear in the shower? And so I get that if you don't invite them, and in your energy and in your world, they respect your space. And that's something that you have to know, that they would, just like an unwanted guest, they're not going to just walk through your door. They are there usually because you have been thinking of them, usually because you are in some type of turmoil or pain. And just know, just like if you have a child that's in pain, you can feel it before they even tell you. And so energetically, yep, this still happens. This happens on the other side as well. And that they,
okay,
you know, if you had a great aunt that loved you, and when you're in pain or sadness comes, it's because, in a sense, your energy or your feelings have called them to you. So just know,
okay,
that your calling card, your phone, is your feelings and your thought process about the person on the other side. So to me, if you have great love and caring and that you know that they want the highest for you, all you do is think of them. And the next thing, you'll, if you can give them a job like, you know, Aunt Betty, could you please give me a sign it's you? You know, flick the lights on or give me a flower or send me a blue jay or whatever you perceive as something she could do. Just ask her to do that.
Okay.
And within moments, you'll see it. It's absolutely.
Okay.
So they want you to know that that's, that they're there and that you can start really relating to them as a spiritual helper. And we have many.
Okay.
You can call in if you have a father on the other side. You can give him a specific job that you know it's him. I have a lot of patients, clients, not patients, because that there one particular client was her father was a mechanic, and so she wanted him to give her washers as a sign. Very unusual thing. You don't see washers all the time. Do you know, Sue, every single day I see washers. I have pocketfuls of washers in my pocket. And he's always,
wow,
giving me the sign. And so I always say, Richard, give your daughter the sign. I know. I believe you're here, you know. So it's funny. You know, I'll get a call and I'll say, how's it going? Did you find it? Finally, I got a washer. She said I was really upset. She was a teacher. I was going in. It was my last day. It was very emotional. And I'm walking up the stairs, and right up the stairs from my school was a washer. And so,
how great is that?
Again, an emotional calling card is what she needed, in a sense, to really make her pay attention to that moment she was in. So I get that that's really,
okay,
what we're doing, is that you have to kind of have a little bit of more emotion and knowing and belief about what we're speaking to the other side. So
okay.
I love this because everyone needs to hear this. This is not something that only a medium can do. This is something you are doing, and just have to get quiet and pay attention. You know, pay attention,
okay,
to the, I call it the silence between the bells. You know, you have to get into your breath, get a little quiet, feel your atmosphere energetically, feel the cool, feel the heat, feel your skin, feel your breath. You know, put yourself a little outside of yourself, and it will work out wonderfully.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Sue. I'm so grateful that you called, and hope to talk to you again.
You.
So we're going to have other shows.
Okay.
Keep us on, I guess, like us, and then you can be tuned into the next show that we have.
Okay, that would be
okay.
Great.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. You can continue listening, all right?
Okay.
Okay. Look. Well, Elise, we are... doing really well in the way of filling up time and also communicating such, I think, important knowing about the other side,
yeah,
and about spirit and also about healing. And for me, because I am a healer, I do healing here in South Lake Tahoe. I do energy work. A lot of times, if you are interested and you'd like to come and see me, you can call me. My phone number is 530-318-3173. That's my cell phone. And my home phone number is 530-541-1359. And you can call and make an appointment. I do phone readings and also hands-on healing. So, and Elise, let's talk about how they could get in touch with you if they would like to talk with you, if they have something they'd like to share, maybe more personally. How could they reach you, maybe Facebook or whatever?
Okay. My name is spelled E-L-I-S-A, and then it's Farley, F as in Frank, A-R-L-E-Y, and that's California. And so if you look me up on Facebook, just type that in and friend me. And I'll go ahead and, you know, accept that. And then my cell phone number is 909 342-8515. And if you would text me before you call, so I will know who is calling, and then we can have a conversation at any time. And that
wonderful.
Would be great.
Yeah. And I would like everyone to keep an eye out, because when Elise's book is up and running, it will be an e-book, so she will be posting it on her Facebook page. So if you do friend her, you will know when it's coming out. And the name of your book is She Believes She Could, So She Did. And to me, I just love the name, Elise. It's powerful. Yeah. And
yeah.
If there's anything else, if you have any comments or anything that you'd like to share with us after the show, you can always text us, and we will definitely continue the conversation or personally address whatever it is that you'd like to ask us. Is there anything else that we forgot, Elise?
I think we covered it all.
I think so. And thank you again for everyone for listening, for calling in, for sharing, and for just allowing you to have this hour all to yourself and to enter into a new place in yourself that is empowered, that isn't afraid, that has some answers to some very scary questions, and that is death. I know it is scary. And to really just kind of settle that fear and put it aside and know that it's okay. You are love, and you are loved, and you will always be cherished and supported with spirit and the highest good. And that's what I truly know and believe. So what we have to end with is, my feeling is, I don't care who you love, I just care that you love. And on that note, for everyone else out there who is gay, straight, trans, whatever, I want you to know, without a doubt, you are loved, supported, and spirit is always with you. And don't believe anything that says you're not. And with that, we're going to say goodbye. Right, Elise?
Bye. Goodbye, people.
Bye, everyone. Blessings to all
love
of you.
Yourself. Yes.
Love.